So, hi Laura, hi Nat, hi Jenny, hi Louise, hi Lisa. All right, good to see everyone. So, for those of you in Oregon, big commendations because it's brutal out there. Laura, Louise, it is hotter. Oregon is the hottest place on the planet today. It is hotter than the Sahara Desert. We hit what was it, 100? Was it 119? Yeah. It's brutal. It's brutal. But Jenny, it looks like you have air conditioning. Oh, can you hear me, Jenny? Oh, maybe not. So at any rate, yeah, it's so anybody who's here from Oregon, it's a big deal because we did not grow up with houses with air conditioning here. It's a newer thing.
It's pretty bad in Idaho too, but I have air conditioning for the first time.
Oh, thank God. What is it like? Are you part of the heat dome, Louise, in Idaho?
Yeah, I'm near Boise, and yeah, we're getting all that heat too, but we're a little more used to it. I
Yeah, you were in Oregon a long time. Yeah, you know
was
it.
in Oregon a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started, and some people may join us, they may not. We had quite a few at the 4 o'clock session. But so here's what we're going to talk about today. Tonight we're going to talk about what this thing called regulating. Let me put this up so my camera is at a better height for me so I can see you also. So we talked about it a bit on Saturday, this idea that we need to regulate the mind, the body, first step, anytime we're dealing with anxiety, right, is regulate. Once we have, and what does regulate mean? It means to balance the hemispheres of the mind, of the brain. And before we can do any of that other work, what is the source? What are the thoughts that are causing this? Before we go to any of those places, the first thing we need to do is move out of that fight, flight, freeze, faint response that the amygdala, that little place in the middle of the brain, right, that we talked about on Saturday. It's just right in there, little thing right in there. And you've all heard of this, I'm sure, fight, flight, or freeze. And a year or so ago, I saw something, or a few years ago, fight, flight, freeze, or faint. Which, is actually another way of dealing with it, right? And when that triggers, our whole body has an event we call some kind of panic or fear, anxiety that puts us into survival mode. We are threatened and our body is having a response. And what we talked about Saturday is that it's our thoughts, it's the thoughts that we hold that have that effect on our body today, because we are not as physically threatened. That's not the source of most of our anxiety. It's our thoughts. So step one is to regulate the hemispheres of the brain, bring them back into balance so that we can move from there into regulating the mind, regulating the thoughts. Oh, I'm just trying to put this thing back together. And then from there, we can begin to move into step two of the five steps we talked about. Regulate, allow, investigate. Then we have a choice point, and then we nurture. And so for step one is regulating, bringing us back. And what's important is that you learn how to do this for yourself. So these simple techniques I'm going to teach you tonight are what allow you to do this for yourself. Natalie has been really lucky. She's had me here with her, doing this with her, 24/7, and whenever it was needed. It wasn't needed 24/7, but anytime something came up, we were here. And this is what we've been doing. And she sits there and she goes, "How do people do this without you? How do you do? I did it and you can do it. We learn to do it for ourselves." So Before we get started, what I'd like to do is I'm going to ask you to write down the, this is unrelated to what we're going to do immediately, but it's related to what we're going to do later in the class. I'm going to ask you to just write down the thoughts, the thought stream, the thought cascade that tends to bring you, follow the feelings of anxiety. Now we know it might be triggering them, but there's some point in the process where your mind is going, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so good today, but this is not going to last. This is going to come back and then I'm going to have that feeling and it's going to take over me. And I hate that. I hate that. I don't want to go to that dark place. I don't want to go to the bad place. And oh no, here we go. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get out of this anxiety stream. I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. And you see, are you familiar with this? Right? We go dump, 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 dump. And what I'd like you to do is just write down the first three or four thoughts that might be part of this kind of thinking for you. And so write down something that you will be working with a partner with these later. It's in the 4 o'clock class was like really clear. This was very powerful. So see if you can write down just something of the stream. It doesn't need to be three or four different types of thoughts, but you know what? It starts with, oh, I feel better. Then it goes to, oh my God, is this going to last? That stuff's going to come back. Oh no, I'm going to go to the back. Are you following me? So I'll be quiet unless there's a question, let you come up with three or four of these kinds of thoughts, at least three or four, and then that you would be willing to share with someone. Julie, did you hear enough of that to follow? Okay. So it looks like everybody's got something. And so if you need a few more seconds, I'm going to just move on, but you know, just write down a few more things that we can share later. And then I want to get back to what we were talking about is how do we regulate the two sides of the brain, right? And we know we've got a right and a left hemisphere. This is my right hand, my left hand. It looks opposite to you, right? But right and a left hemisphere of the brain, the right side of the brain is what's more data driven, just facts, give me the facts, just kind of logical, boom, 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 boom. Okay. The right side of the brain is more creative. It's more creative and imaginative. And when we're regulating, eventually you will recognize where the thought is originating from. Generally speaking, if it's coming from a past experience, that past experience does have a factual basis to it, right? It happened. And so we build on a pattern that's coming out of this side of the brain, Karen, the left side of the brain. It's like, okay, I'm going to walk in there and everybody's going to stare at me and I'm not going to go what to do and I'm going to feel really awkward. These are things that have already happened in the past, right? We're kind of reliving them. And there's another side of the brain that's about the future. I'm going to walk in there. Everybody's going to stare at me. Oh my God, I'm going to feel so embarrassed. I'm not going to know what to say. And what if I walk up to somebody and I say, hi, my name is something. And they just keep talking to people with, I'm going to feel like the most foolish person on the planet. Oh my God, I can't even go in there. And now we're off into the future, right? We've created a scenario. Right now, that's not where we're going. Right now, you're just trying to recognize there are thoughts that are happening. There's an event in your body and thoughts going with it. And we're going to regulate between the two hemispheres. So the technique I'm going to have you do tonight that I'm going to teach you takes you between left brain, right brain, left brain, right brain. This is called a toggle. What happens is when we toggle like this, we bring whoom, whoom, whichever side of the brain is out of control, we start to bring it back to center, into balance. And why do we want to do that? Because when the brain becomes balanced, it allows us to move up into this part of the brain. Here's your two hemispheres right here. But see this little spot in here? See, the amygdala is back in there. This front part of the brain is called the prefrontal cortex, which is really hard to say when I'm talking fast. So sometimes I might call it the PFC. A lot easier to say. And this is the area of the brain that is we use when we're problem solving, decision making. It's a part of the brain that when we meditate, that's part of the brain that lights up. There are other areas also, but this is part of the brain that brings us back into a place of being back in control, being back in control, and not at the mercy of those other events and. What am I looking at? The threat response, the anxiety response that is going off in our body. It brings us out of the event. Does this making sense? Any questions on that? Any questions on that? Okay. So, Julie, was that a question? Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do right now is to write down in your own handwriting, because this is a technique you want to be able to do on your own. Okay, so I'm going to say it, we're going to do it, and you're going to write it. So we're going to try and engage those three different ways of learning so you will know what to do, because you all know when you're in the middle of the anxiety, it all goes out of the window, right? So step one, we're going to balance the left side of the brain by spelling. We're going to spell the word inhale or breathe, either one. We're going to spell it as we're inhaling. And as we exhale, we're going to spell a nice, good left brain activity. You can spell exhale. You can spell soften. What you're spelling is not as important as the fact that your mind is thinking about how to spell it and actually spelling. Okay. We're going to use the words inhale and soften. Sometimes you can do it and use the word soft as you inhale and calm as you exhale. And if any of you've done any techniques with Thich Nhat Hanh, he's done quite a bit where inhale peace, exhale joy, inhale calm, exhale at ease. So what we're doing is we're spelling. It's a nice way to calm the left side. Okay? We're going to do that for a few times. And then we're going to move over to the right side of the brain. Now, this is the creative side, the imaginative side. So what we're going to do over here is we're going to say something like, and it doesn't have to be exactly this. I'm giving you the patterning. Okay? It could be, oh, so what color is the breath that I'm breathing in? We want to give it a color. What color is the breath I'm breathing out? Is it the same color? Is it different? Or you might say, if you're having a real intense sensation in your chest or your gut, right, an intense tensing somewhere, you might say, what is the color of that sensation in my chest? What is the color of that sensation in my gut? Okay, so we start to engage the other side of the brain with a color. And we might say, what is the shape of that sensation? And so then we give it a shape. So we give it a color, we give it a shape. And then we might ask ourselves, is that shape fixed and solid, or is it moving and shifting? So that's how we begin to engage the right side of the brain. There's anything you do that brings you into that creative, imaginative world will work. I'm just giving you some pretty basic ones that I've used with Nat, and they seem to work quite nicely. But it's in my left brain regulating. It's my right brain regulating technique. Does that make sense? Pretty straightforward? Okay. Then, once we're balanced up, we're going to toggle back and forth. We do one for a few breaths, go to the other few breaths, come back a few breaths, come back a few breaths. We just go back and forth until you feel like you'll feel the difference. And if you're doing this for somebody, you'll see that they're shifting, that they're starting to, let's use the word regulate. And then we want to bring up into the prefrontal cortex. We want to bring us up into this area here. We're getting up out of that whole limbic system that amygdala that's just set off these events in our body. We're going to bring us up here by asking a question. And the question is, I wonder what? I wonder if. I wonder. Start it with I wonder. And the one we're going to use tonight, because it's hard to think sometimes of an I wonder statement. And this one it could probably work in most situations. I wonder what was happening right here 200 years ago. I wonder what was happening right here where I'm sitting 200 years ago. And then I wonder what, if there were people or animals here, I wonder what they were doing. And it'll kick you into a whole different way of being right up here in the prefrontal cortex. Okay? Now, you may think, really? Really? But how many times have we done this, Natalie?
Couple times a day.
And it works, right?
Yes.
It works. It works. It regulates and it brings us up here. And once we're up here, oh, okay. Move on to the other things, but we got to get here first. So there's times where you're going to, as you do more and more of this, you will begin to recognize the anxiousness starting before you even get to a point where you need to regulate, at which point you will be able to move on into the allow stage, into the investigate stage, into the nurture stage. But this is what you use if you are spooling out, spooling up, or you're with somebody who is. This is where we start. Okay? Should we try it? Any questions on that before we do it? Okay. So since you will do this technique and nobody's going to be there to say, find your seat, and all that stuff, we're going to start by simply taking a nice deep breath. And then as we exhale, we'll soften the body from our, using that breath we talked about on Saturday, using exhaling through the mouth. So we engage the parasympathetic nervous system and it helps us to relax the body by sighing. Okay. So let's just start. Let's just start and let's inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth with a sigh and soften from your head down to your toes. And then let's begin to balance the left hemisphere. As you inhale, mentally spell I-N-H-A-L-E. And as you exhale, you spell. Let me see your mouths move and you can whisper or speak. S-O-F-T-E-N. So you're spelling, either inhale or breathe. As you exhale, you're spelling soften. Do just a couple more. If your mind is having a hard time settling, then speak the words or move the lips with a little more, I don't want to say loudness, but a little more force. F-T-E-N. Let's do one more. And then after your next exhale, ask yourself, what is the color of this inhale I'm breathing in? What is its color right now? What is the color of the exhale? If I was going to give a shape or some kind of a form to this breath as it's flowing into my body, what is the shape I would give it? What is the shape it takes as I exhale? And see if you can come up with an image for that. And just imagine it as you're inhaling, imagine it as you're exhaling. It's got both a color and a shape. And then after your next exhale, let's come back. And as you inhale, spell I-N-H-A-L-E. And as you exhale, you can speak as you exhale, speak as you spell, soften. So we're inhaling, we say it mentally. As we exhale, we spell it out loud. Might be with just a whisper. Let's do two more. And after your next exhale, bring your attention to the sensation in your chest right now, whatever it might be. And ask yourself, what is the color of this sensation? But even as you ask it, keep breathing. We want to keep breathing, right? And if you're having a hard time getting the mind to settle, or if you're really tired, just open your eyes a little bit. Because we will all learn to do this with our eyes open, believe me. And just ask yourself, what is the color of the sensation in my chest right now? And then ask yourself, is there a shape to this sensation in my chest? What is the shape of this sensation? And once you find the shape, ask yourself, is this shape really fixed or does it change and move? And then take just a couple breaths, breathing in, feeling the color in your chest, the shape, noticing if it changes at all as you exhale. And then come back to your left brain. And as you inhale, spell I-N-H-A-L-E. And as you exhale, out loud, say and spell soften. And let's just do two more. And it is okay as you say soften, as you spell soften, to soften the body. That's totally encouraged. And then after that, exhale, let's bring ourselves, our awareness up to the prefrontal cortex by asking the question, I wonder who or what was here right where I'm sitting or laying down 200 years ago. I wonder if it was an animal or a person. I wonder what they were doing. What could they have been doing 200 years ago, right here? And let your imagination create something here. I wonder what I would do or say to whoever I saw right here. I wonder what I could tell them about my life today here in 2021 that they could even understand. So let's just take a nice deep breath. And what did you notice? As you exhale, go ahead, open your eyes. And what did you notice as we did the technique? Did you notice a shift in the process of doing this? Anybody? Julie, yeah.
I noticed how hard it is to concentrate. It's like, right before I got on my computer, somebody said something and it kind of triggered me a little bit. So I'm like right here. So it's hard because I'm new to meditation practice to make my mind, like just spelling the word inhale, I can barely do it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Julie, for that. That is a very real, that's a real challenge, isn't it? And so what we want to do is spell shorter words. So we want to just go I-N-O-U-T. I-N-O-U-T. If your mind, right? I mean, it's easier to stick with I-N and O-U-T. So that would be one trick. The other is to partially open your eyes so that it helps us from our thoughts just grabbing us and taking us away, right? Because you can get into I and age, and by the A, you're off somewhere, right? Because the mind is really busy. That's the nature of the mind.
Spelling is very hard for me. It's hard for me to spell auditorily anyways. I have to write it. So part of it is the spelling issue. So if...
Oh, well, then you can count.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Counting works just as well. I just didn't say counting because I count so often. We do quite a few techniques where we count the breath in and count out, but you could totally count. And what you would do is you would just count as you were breathing in 1, 2, 3, 4, but don't do long breaths. You want to do like 3 or 4 count because otherwise you'll lose the count.
So you're wanting something that's fairly easy for your left brain to access, but not something that's like, oh yeah, like how do I spell, you know, experience?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Like you could spell possibly as you're inhaling J-U-L-I-E and as you exhale S-O-F-T, right? Julie in, soft out. Possible? No?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The question was just sort of like, how challenging does the tool need to be? And it sounds like
not.
Very simple.
It does not need to be challenging. It's simply about getting this side of the brain engaged. And it does not need to be complicated. That's not the point. The point is to just be with your breath and engage that very logical, that's how we do this, that's how we do it. Let's count, let's spell, let's let's get kind of more data driven. There's no ambiguity. It's just, this is how it is. So if it's the word experience would absolutely not be okay because it takes too much thinking. Nobody could spell it, right? Or all you'd be thinking about is how to spell it. So that's not the point. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what did you notice when we went to the I wonder part after going back and forth? Julie, were you able to stay with it enough between the two sides? Did you notice?
I think the I wonder part, because I'm very connected, I'm very grounded to the natural world. So it's very easy for me to immediately just like imagine the forest that was here. I like that exercise.
And so how did you feel? When did that trigger happen? After we got into the I wonder part or before?
No, it was before, like right before I sat down to our meeting.
Oh. Yes. And so how do you feel right now? Do you feel better?
Yes. Yeah, as long as I can keep in the moment right here.
Exactly. And that's the hardest part, right, is when that trigger comes, is to come back into the moment. But here's what we want to remember. Everything comes and goes. Even a trigger, if you just allow it, if you do this technique, it will pass. What keeps everything going is we get trapped in the thought cycle. We get afraid of we build it and we're in and we can't get out of the loop. So doing what we just did is what starts to break us out of that loop so we can come back right here, right now. And then we're back to the thorn tree story, right? I've come back here right now. I'm regulated for the moment. And then my mind, it's so used to grabbing onto it. It wants to run back and go, wait, no, let's think those thoughts again. So we regulate again. And it's okay to do that. That's a skill you're learning. That's a skill we're all learning. Natalie and I, we did this once. We were driving to go get, is it cupcakes or something? For a birthday or something like that. And she started having the panic in the car, right? And we started with the regulating. And you can tell when somebody's, they're both sides of the brain. And she would say out loud. So I could hear her voice. And I knew that her breathing had slowed down. And she was able to hold a thought of a color. And when we would go to the wonder place, what I learned is that if you aren't regulated enough between left and right, you can't go to wonder. You can't go to that. I wonder what it would be like. It's just like, I can't even get into wonder. So we come back. We do more right brain, left brain, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth till we can get up. Chris, yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder, okay. I found that, I was really enjoying the, creative part. You know, with the color and the shape, and I don't know why. I loved it. And,
good.
And I wonder, it was like I was creating this whole story about what was here. And then I'm like, wait, but is that in here or am I?
Wait, here? But no. You created a whole story. Did you feel better? Were you out of the?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole point.
Okay. Cause I was like, when you were just talking now, I was like, oh no, was I doing it wrong? Was I like just going off on this, you know?
No, that's exactly it. Because now you're in I wonder and you're in this whole other thing. And guess what? All that amygdala, all that fear response is gone. You have done it. You have regulated your brain and you've brought yourself to a different place. Yay. Look what you just did, right? It's amazing. And the first times you do it, it's like Julie said, it's like, whoa, I'm getting lost in it. And the key thing, I wish I could figure out a way to really just in your moment, be there for you because it doesn't take forever, but a few times having somebody there to help you get through it, you realize it works. But when you're in it yourself, it's really hard to remember to say, okay, spell. Okay, color. okay, back and forth. Okay, wonder. It's really, it's challenging. It's going to take some practice for you to develop the skill. But once you have it, you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do and you'll be able to do it.
Karen, is it like a distraction technique sort of to get your mind off?
Well, you could say it's a distraction, except you've really, literally, they study the brain when they develop this. The woman who I learned this from, it's like they could see the activity on this side of the brain, the activity on this side of the brain. And in the fear response, it was all on one side. And so by doing this technique, the toggle, it's called a toggle, go back and forth. And the activity, it slows down and you come back to both sides. But then the way out, and I suppose you could call it a distraction, but the way through it is to come up to this part of the brain, which is the clearer thinking. So we've lost the muddiness, the confusionness of being in that anxious place. And we can come up to a place where our mind is just clearer. We've come into a new story and we've moved out of that space. Did that answer it?
Yeah.
No, it does. Can I really quick? I asked that same question and Mom, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And I think because what I was wondering is, my fear is always, oh, so I'm just distracting myself and then it's going to come back and get me because I'm not dealing with it. And the point, I think, is that you get to a point where your mind is clear enough so that even or later you can go back and address it, investigate it, whatever you need to do to eventually work through it. So it's not like a total distraction. It's to get your mind to a different place and you are still going to go work through what happened.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And so regulate is step one. And then once we're regulated, the sensation may still be here, right? I mean, we would do this with Natalie. The sensation would still be, but now we could allow the sensation. We had brought our mind back where we could now, we can allow the sensation to be there. We can investigate it. Does that make sense? A little more? It's step one. And I just looked at the time and it's like, oh my God. Oh my gosh. I don't know how we're going to do this second technique, but we're going to try. We're going to try. I'm going to explain it to you. And this is what we did. I learned this from Nat, working with Nat, because she told me the thoughts that would just, you know, right? What are the thoughts, Nat? Well, these are the, and she'd gotten to a point, regulated enough, she could identify the thoughts that were spooling, right? And in order to help train her mind to look at those thoughts and start to balance the thoughts. We've balanced the hemisphere of the mind. Now we need to, what are we going to do with these thoughts that have got us in their grip? We need to learn to look at those thoughts and go, is that a past thought or a future thought? We need to be able to look at those thoughts and go, is that a true thought or is it not true? And then we need to skill to be able to look at the thought and go, after it's been doing this, just go, stop. Stop. That awareness that you can develop to notice the thought, decide if the thought is of value to you. And it's not of value to you if it's a future thought or a past thought. It's not of value to you if it's not a true thought. So the first step to even deciding if these thoughts are valid and worth is we've got to learn to look at them and go, is this a future thought or a past thought or a present thought? Is it a true thought, not true thought? Is it a, and can I just stop the thoughts? Can I stop the thoughts? And that's a muscle that is really hard to develop. And so what Nat and I did, and what I'm going to put you guys into two groups. I'm going to do one, two. Lisa in Oregon, are you with us in the call? Or are you just kind of listening as you're doing
things? Yeah.
You are?
No, I'm here. I'm just, yeah, off camera.
Okay. 2, 4. So what we'll do is we'll divide you up into two groups. And only one person is going to have time to do this, but you'll get the idea of it. The 4 o'clock group assured me, even if one person does it, it's valuable. And one person is going to be the mind. It's going to be the mind of the other person. So the mind is going to ask the other person, what are the thoughts that go through your head? The three or four thoughts that I had you write down in class, you're going to share them with the other person. You're going to share them with the mind. And then the mind is going to sit there and say, I'm going to just use the ones from the previous class. Oh my gosh, here I am. My family's all out there. Something bad is going to happen to them. They're going to get in a car crash and I'm not even going to know about it. And they're all going to die and I'm not even going to know or be there. And then I'm going to be all alone. And oh my God, oh my God. It's this spooling of thought. Now what happened is when we were doing it, she got a little triggered, right? She got a little triggered. And what happened is that as we were trying to speak the thought, she couldn't even say future thought because it's so strong when we get into the anxiety, right? We can't even identify the thought. So the purpose of the exercise is for you to experience what it's like to talk to your mind. And notice a thought. If it's a future thought, you don't need it. Your main job right now is to learn how to be completely present in the moment. If you're completely present in the moment, there's no anxiety. There's no fear. You're completely present. Okay? So what I'm going to divide you up into groups. Look at what each other's thoughts are and decide who's going to be the mind. You might find that you have similar thoughts. And then the person who's the mind, you just start talking. And then the other person whose mind is talking to them, you're going to say future thought. At which point, mind, you stop for a moment. Stop for a moment, just a moment. And then start up again. And then they'll say future thought or past thought. Pause. Then start up again. And after a point, stop pausing. Just keep battering them. You know how your mind does? It doesn't pause. It doesn't stop, right? And the person who is listening just starts saying, not true, not true. Future thought, not true, not true. Until the point where you can't take it anymore. And I want you to say stop with so much force that you, the person in the mind, you will actually stop. Okay? Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? Can I divide you into groups? Yeah? Okay. So we may go a few minutes over, and so I apologize in advance for that. And if you have to leave right at the 45, let me know now, and I won't put you in a pair. Can everybody stay a few minutes longer? All right. Then let's do this. Be up for the experience, okay? Just be present for the experience. Okay, I'll see you in about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, so sorry, Laura and I had an interesting experience. Oh, you're muted, Karen.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Yes. What happened? So okay. Did Lisa and I, yes.
Can I just tell you what my thoughts are? Because like it didn't really work.
Oh, okay. What happened?
Thoughts that her and I both have.
Say
so
what?
My thought stream is nobody listens to me. They don't respect me. How can I get them to listen? Everything is out of control. Everything is out of my control.
And so what happened when you did the exercise?
Oh, hold on. My son's saying good night.
Okay.
Okay. So what happened was we were like, well, it's not really a future or past thought. And then it was like, true or not true. So we went there and it was like, well, yeah, it is kind of true in that situation. Nobody's listening to me.
So, okay. So what was the first thought that you wrote down?
My first thought was nobody listens to me.
Okay. So, okay. That might be a true thought in your perception, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's the next thought?
The next thought was they don't respect me.
Okay. You don't know that.
Okay.
That might not be true. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That might not be true. Okay. So what's the next one?
How can I get them to listen?
Okay. That's a nice present thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then everything is out of control and everything is out of my control.
Okay, everything's out of control. That may or may not be a true thought. And it's may not be a present or future thought. Everything is out of my control. That is true thought. And so the exercise would go like this. You say your thoughts.
Okay. Nobody listens to me.
Is that really a true thought? Is that really true? Is that really true? I listen to you.
True.
So I'm gonna, this is where it's like, is it really a true thought? You know, is it really a true thought? And that's all you need.
Okay. Okay.
Is that really true? Okay. Do the next one.
The next one is, they don't respect me.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You're thinking that. You don't know that for a fact. May not be true. Okay, this is good. Keep going.
Okay. The next one is, how can I get them to listen?
Good question. And that's what I would say. But that came up. Good. That's a productive thought. Good question. Okay.
Everything is out of control.
Is it really? Or do I just feel like it's out of control? Is it really out of control? It's really out of control. I mean, that's where I would go with that, right? It's like, I mean, we feel it's out of control, but is it really? Is it really?
Yeah.
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 And then it feels to us like it is, but it may not be. I mean, yeah. a 2-year-old is a 2-year-old. You could call it out of control, but it's really just a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the other one?
The last one was everything is out of my control,
which is a true thought.
A lot of my anxiety is.
Yes, exactly. And that's a true thought. And that is where our anxiety is. Most of us, our anxiety comes from the fact that we have no control over things. And so we are trying, it terrifies us. That thought terrifies us. I mean, it's like, just frozen in fear. Panic and terror, right? But that's what we're learning to move through. That's where, as we move on further down through the steps, we're going to be able to work with that and get to the point where it's like, yeah, the only thing I can control is my attitude. And we're going to learn how to make peace with those parts of us that are so scared of being out of control. Because we'll make peace with all the reasons why we're so scared of them being out of control. What are we afraid is going to happen if we're out of control, right? It's a threat to us on some really deep existential level. It's a threat to our very survival. And that's the future work that we'll get into in the other classes. How do we do that work? First step, though, is we've got to regulate the brain and notice the thoughts so that they're not controlling us. Because if they're controlling us, we're never going to be able to move on to the next steps to see what to do. So this is a process of trying to figure out and just notice that's a thought. That's a thought. It may not be true. It may not be true. And if it's a past thought, that's a past thought. It's a future thought. That's a future thought. What we want is what's going on right now in this moment. And right now in this moment, do they really not respect you? Is that really what's going on here? It may feel like it, but we don't know that that's the truth. We don't know that that's the core issue. We know that that's how you feel, but it doesn't mean it's how they feel. Does that? These are the distinctions we're looking for. Okay. That was a really great example, Chris.
Thanks.
Did that make some sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. So now I'm thinking, Laura, when you said this sucks, I would say, is that true? And you could say yes to that.
Yeah. Because it does suck.
It does.
And this is what we want to learn to admit, is that it sucks, because we spend a lot of our life going, moving on as if, and pretend, and not wanting to acknowledge that it sucks. I mean, do you remember in class when Gina said, I don't want to be present in my life? Do you remember that moment? All of us felt it because we know, and it hurts. It really hurts. And that's what we're running from. That's what we're not paying attention to. So Laura just did the same version of that. Say, this sucks. It's like, yeah, it does suck. Oh, thank you for not pretending. Your whole body is going, thanks for not pretending. Does that help, Laura?
Yeah, yeah. We just felt like we were reinforcing all of our thoughts, which was the opposite of what we should be doing. So
I don't know that it's what we're trying to do is it's acknowledging the thought is step one, is acknowledging even having a thought. And then once we've acknowledged we've had the thought, then we get to look at the thought, and that sucks is a valid thought. And you're showing up for a thought you may have been running from in the past, right? Or suppressing or, mm-hmm. And so there's lots of layers. When I'm giving you the past, present, future, is it true? Is it not true? There's lots of other versions of those. And when I send out the handout, I'll see if I can come up with more of them for you, right? What did other people run into with this?
Natalie and I didn't actually really do the exercise because we were talking, because mine is more of like unconscious. Like it's just like all of a sudden I have a feeling of anxiety and I don't necessarily have thoughts. I mean, maybe if I like really dig into it, I can figure it out, but like it usually just like is a straight like sensation that comes on initially. Most of the time I know like the situations where it's going to happen.
Say that last part again.
A lot of times I know the situations where it's going to happen.
But you don't know the thought that's going with it yet?
It's, I guess it's not like necessarily something in my brain. It's more just like I feel it.
Right. So here's the thing. Is the feeling you're experiencing is tied to a thought. It may be conscious, it may be unconscious, but it is tied to a thought. And I know Natalie said the same thing, right, Nat? Yeah, I'm having a thought. I'm just having a sensation. When you're just in sensation, this is where we're just regulating with the sensation. We're just regulating the sensation. We're coming back into the body and we're going to regulate the brain. We're going to come up into here, but we also have the breath. We also have the breath that calms the body, right? The sighs that bring it in. So, in your situation, do you remember on Saturday I said it's not A, B, C, D, E, it's not linear? It's like, so for Jenny, I would say, so what with you, what we want to do is have you just stay in the sensation in the body, and you're going to first learn to work through the sensation. And what is going to happen is these thoughts are going to come, and the day is going to come where you're going to want this technique. You're going to use this. But right now, it's about being with the sensation, learning how to allow the sensation to be there and not grip up around it, and to soften the body and And that's what we're going to work with the next time is allow, that allow step. So Jenny, for you, you may not, this, the thought one may not be ready yet. For you,
would going through though, like balancing the brain and the wonder and stuff still kind of help?
Yes.
Get out of the sensation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 Absolutely yes. Because the sensation is because of the amygdala fired, right? And so what we're doing is we're moving us out of that, we're getting us out of the activeness of that fight, flight, freeze, and we're regulating and bringing the body, the breath back into balance. Yeah. Nat, it helped you. I mean, we didn't go to allow. We just stayed there for quite a while, right? I mean, Nat couldn't find any thoughts at first. Yeah, it was just all sensation. Yeah.
I have a quick question, and this might be too scientific. I don't know, but how long does it take cortisol to clear your system? I mean, because, you know, it can fire so fast. Like, suddenly your whole brain and your muscles are just bathed in cortisol. But can it clear as fast as it can happen?
My experience is, I don't know the scientific answer to that, and I'd be curious to see if somebody else had an answer for that. My experience is that my mind has the power to clear it. It comes, and with my thoughts, and as I come into the present moment, my mind is strong enough now that it can come up and I can move right through and switch it. That's my experience. That's my experience. Okay, maybe not like that. Maybe a few breaths. Okay, but not hours, not 10 minutes. Within a few minutes, I can move from kind of and bring myself down. I'd say within a minute or two, I can come back. But I rarely feel it anymore. That's the other piece, is you're going to get to the point where you're going to catch it so early that you're never going to get to that place again. You're going to learn your responses, and you're going to get to know that as soon as you feel senses, oh, there's something coming. There's something working on me. What is it? What do I do now? Let me deal with it now. While it's got my attention, let me pay attention, and I'm going to move through it sooner and sooner. It gets to that terror panic place because we haven't paid attention along the way. And so as I said to Natalie one time, I'm keeping you guys way late, but it's like there's that initial sensation. It's your whole being going, I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable with this. And most of us don't pay any attention to it. We go,
I have a question.
Yeah.
How does that work with like a full on PTSD attack, where something similar triggers it, like a car accident or an event that is unexpected? There's not a lot of lead up time, and then it takes longer and longer to get over. Like if you're in that PTSD loop or something.
You know, I do know that PTSD is its own thing, Lisa, and I don't consider myself qualified to talk about PTSD, to be honest. It's so tender. And I know that sometimes these techniques don't work the same way if it's a PTSD situation. So I'm really hesitant to answer that because that's not my area of expertise, you know? And so what I do know is that the more we heal the parts of us that are where the anxiety is arising from, the fear is arising from, as we correct those perception, as we do the work to see what it really is and heal it and find our wholeness, that those triggers, things that used to trigger me, don't trigger me anymore. They don't. it takes a lot to trigger me. And it's just not there, but it's the vigilant showing up and doing the work. And as we change those, the things that were triggered, they're whole and they can't get triggered. They just don't get triggered anymore. And it's a harsh thing, but I had a therapist in the early 90s when I was talking about my molestation and those things. And, you know, he asked me, how many minutes did you spend in that situation? And I said, well, all told, probably, you know, I don't know, 4 or 6 hours. And he helped me to see that I had let that whole 4 to 6 hours color entire part of my world. And so what happens is as we heal these things, the rest of the world comes back into view and they don't become the hugeness that they were. But as soon as the word PTSD is used, I will step back and go, that's not my area of expertise. That's not my area. So I guess I'm going to just be honest with you, Lisa, and say, I know this piece. I'm not as familiar with that piece. I wish I had a better answer for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And so Julie, to finish up what we were saying, it's like people are going to, it's going to whisper, it's going to say, I'm uncomfortable here. And if you pay attention when it says I'm uncomfortable, boom, work right through it. You make the choices and you're through. If you don't listen the first time, it starts to go, I'm not liking this. And that feels like a little more like this. And if you still are going, nope, not paying attention, I'm not, or if you start to loop into it, oh no, what's going on? Then it's going to go, I'm really not liking this. And my girlfriends and I, we used to talk about it. We had to wait till we were hit by a 2x4 before we'd get the message that something was out of balance. And what we're going to learn here are the skills to not have to wait to get hit by the 2x4 that I'm having a full-fledged panic attack here, and recognize it sooner and sooner and sooner, so that with the first feelings of discomfort or being out of balance, we can go, oh, I see what's going on here. Oh, this is happening. That person's coming into my life. Okay, this is what I need to do to protect yourself, to take care of yourself. And we're going to get into that probably in the fourth class. But the next class, we're going to talk about more about the allow, the sensations. And it's when we get to the investigate and the nurture that we start to really work with the tools to go a little deeper. So I'm beginning to think I was way off base saying I could do this 45-minute practicum, man. Boy. Okay.
I know we're way over, but I just have one question. Did you say, so like the feeling, did you say even if you ignore it, you know, rather than letting it, you know, that it will continue to kind of grow within you? I feel like that's what I have. Like, I try not to, like, pay attention to it, but it still just, like, lingers around forever.
Oh, it does.
Even if I try not to let it take hold.
Exactly. Because here's the thing, Jenny. Here's the important, important thing. All of this anxiety, all of this fear, all of this is because your whole being wants to be whole. And the only way it can become whole is if you pay attention, if you show up. As I said before, it doesn't want anybody else's attention. We think we want our husband to listen to us and pay attention to us. We think we want our siblings to care that we're allergic to XYZ and not have it around when we're at their house. We think, but it's not that. There are anxiety. These feelings want our attention. They want our caring and tenderness and kindness. They want to know that we are finally here, taking care of it, taking care of that part of ourselves. And when we, which we all do, shut it down, not pay attention, move on, soldier on, because that's what we're taught to do. It's going to linger. It's going to stay there. It might get really down low, but it's just gotten tighter and harder. And it's in there. But the regulation of the brain that we're doing, what that's allowing you in the moment is to not push it down, to not ignore it, but to actually show up and, okay, here's the sensation. This is what's going. Okay, let's move through. I don't have to know what it's from. I don't have to know what it's about, but I'm not suppressing it and I'm not ignoring it. I'm tending it by balancing the brain, coming up here. I have paid attention in a way that has allowed it to move through me. It has moved through me. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't make sense. It's like, how come I don't have to know what it's all about? You don't have to know what it's all about all the time. Eventually it's going to let you know what it's about. In the moment, we just let it move through the body. Just let it move through the body. You do that a few times, it's going to trust you. And at some point, it's going to start to help you know, what is this about? What is this about? What am I really afraid of? Okay. Well, you guys are troopers for staying on. This is like so much for 45 minutes. I'm going to rethink this. All right. Well, please, if you have other questions, you know, it's going to be what, 10 days or a little more before we see each other again, but I'm going to post these on the website and I'll post a handout that has this more delineated for you. And I really encourage you to just at least work with the holds, work with the different things we've been doing up to this point as best you can, you know. All right. I hope I didn't leave you triggered and overwhelmed. I hope I left you in prefrontal cortex feeling like there's hope and you can do this and there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You are showing up. This is an incredible thing. So good job, everybody. And I'll see you in, what is it, the 10th. Okay? Good night, everyone.
All right, thank you.